Hey, what's going on, Clipper people? It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I'm Positive Chuck Mockler.
We are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Hell yeah.
Bringing Clippers news 5 days a week.
Damn straight.
Thank you so much to everybody who's still rocking with us.
Oh yeah, we're here.
Clippers may be eliminated from playoff contention, but we still got a heck of a lot to talk about.
Oh, and we got another piece of the interview from Ralph Lawler to play for everybody.
Absolutely. Can't wait for that. So we're doing kind of postseason grades for the starters. It might leak over into some bench players and stuff as well as we continue to do shows.
Progress.
Yeah, as we progress through things. So today we're going to be doing a postseason grade for Paul George. Talk a little bit about that performance. Clearly some kind of up and down stuff there, but excited to get into it no less. And then, as Chuck alluded to, we have part two of our interview with Ralph Lawler. If you missed the first part, go ahead.
Oh.
Go back to that
one. Do yourselves a favor and listen to it.
Run back and check that one out. In today's segment, we're going to be talking a little bit about some of his favorite sort of eras of Clipper basketball.
Yeah.
As well as sort of just like the monumental change that took place in the organization when Ballmer ended up buying the team.
Mm-hmm.
So stick around for all of that. And then in Shavings, where we have some sort of musings, some ideas at what could happen to the five rotation.
Yeah. It's kind of up in the air.
Yeah. If the organization does not end up extending an offer to Montrezl Harrell. So we're going to talk about that. And then, just a nice PSA.
Yeah.
A Chuck Mockler PSA to wrap this thing up.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
So, welcome to PG's postseason grade.
Hey,
I just put the poll out on Twitter, just kind of asking people what they would give PG's postseason grade. And while a lot of them were kind of on the lower end of the spectrum,
yeah,
of course, which I think is fair, really all over the place.
Yeah,
his stats in 13 games, Paul George averaged 20 points, 6 boards, 4 assists, 1.5 steals, in just under 37 minutes a game, plus 2.2 net rating. Some pretty brutal splits, if I'm being honest. 39% from the floor, 33% from three, 90% from the line, which is great. If only he would have gotten there more. Had a rough go during the Mavs series. He bounced back in game 6, which we really needed. But he scored less than 20 in 7 of the 13 games. He had 10 points in game 7 on 4 of 16 shooting versus the Nuggets.
Yeah.
This was a tough go. And obviously, there were some extenuating circumstances.
Yeah. I mean, it's difficult, obviously, coming off of two major shoulder surgeries for the season. It's still difficult to see if that was 100%, if he was, back to where he wanted to be.
So we heard, I feel like we heard at the beginning of the season from some people involved with the team, be it Doc, be it whoever, we heard that PG was he was 100% healthy kind of coming into the season after he got, like, after like 5 games that he missed. Everyone's like, oh, he looks like he's feeling 100%.
Yeah.
And then we heard that because of the layoff between when Gobert did his thing and the bubble started, that he was even healthier than in the beginning. And it was just like, and I know it's kind of team speak for the most part.
Of course.
But he pays attention to what is said about him in social media stuff.
Unfortunately.
So I think that played a factor a little bit. I think he was definitely healthy, but to what actual degree, we're never going to know.
Yeah.
Well, he's still coming off double shoulder surgery, right?
Yeah. We cannot be too sure about that. And then also, I'm sure if you're listening to this, you've seen noted, he did have some struggles with his mental health there in the bubble.
Yeah, not the only one, but the most open one about it in the bubble up to this point.
Definitely. So, it's hard. It's hard. I guess it's like a little bit hard for me to factor in how much I can grade on a curve.
Yeah.
I know that there were some things going on there, but as I said, like my kind of grades are based on like C means you did not improve. You you stayed the same. Anything below that to me is going to be, an unimprovement.
Yeah.
a regression. And anything above that is going to be Obviously, some form of measurable improvement. So I got to go for Paul George. I got to go probably C minus, maybe high D.
Yeah, I think so. First of all, you're kind of like Twitter, Clippers Twitter is pretty much on the same page. A lot of C's are getting hurled at our account right now. A couple of F's. I don't think you can give him an F.
I don't think you can give
the
him
defense,
an F either.
So that's the other part. Like the defense and some, he locked up Jamal Murray. Like,
yes.
When things were going our way.
Yes.
He locked up Jamal Murray, I should say. Which is hard to, you know, you can't discredit that at all.
No. Can't discredit that at all.
For me, it's the lows were so low for his offense, which tanked us. And we kind of talked about a little bit with the Kawhi season grade, the leadership thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, yeah. So for me, it's not the same. Like I don't
he's
put
not
that,
the alpha. He's not a Kawhi level player in terms of the alpha-ness that might be needed.
Yeah. So I mean, obviously he never should have been or like wasn't my expectation that he would step up and be that leader. That's not really the type of player that he is. It's not really,
yeah,
you know, necessarily what he should be needed to do. I think the biggest reason, aside from, you know, like the eye test and some of the raw numbers from the playoffs, the biggest thing for me that I think makes it a regression in my eyes is just the ability to create off the dribble. I think, and part of this, I'm definitely going to put on myself in a little bit, you know, overvaluing sort of what he's capable in that
we
sort
were hyped
of a role.
Up. It's kind
of
like what Ralph talked about in that first part of the interview of like, we're so inundated with Clippers stuff.
Yeah.
That it was kind of like, well, PG can bring the ball up. This
yes.
is great.
Yeah. And I do feel like, you know, through a lot of this season, you know, clearly, I mean, especially with Pat going through the injury stuff that he had.
Yeah.
You know, there were questions about the depth of playmaking on this roster.
For sure.
And I think that, you know, we would kind of always fall back on, well, you know, Kawhi and PG are two guys who can figure it out. And I think that there are outliers for sure. But overall, I just never really saw the ability off the dribble to give me any sort of confidence in PG
consistently
being that kind of a player.
It felt like we saw so much in this postseason of him doing that thing that he did in the regular season, which was you dribble into someone and you can tell as soon as he puts his head down that he's looking for contact.
Yes.
And he's not actually trying to score.
Yeah.
And everyone else on the court knew it too.
Definitely.
I think I got to give him a C minus.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm writing that C minus D.
I'm giving him a D plus, but then after class or something, he's like, he comes and talks to me, and I'm like, blah, blah, blah.
There's some extra credit available. And,
yeah,
and this is one. And this is the form. Let's not make any excuses on social media. Let's stay off social
yeah,
media
stay off
until
social
the
media.
Season resumes.
Yeah,
and I'm willing to correct this one from a D to a C minus.
I think that's fair. Yeah, Clipper Nation weighed in again. A lot of C's getting floated around. I think that's fair. It was tough. Someone said F because we lost, and it's like, okay, well, that's yeah. We can't be like that.
No, I don't think it's an F. I mean, it wasn't a complete failure in any sort of way. I think that a lot of people.
I will say it was a little close. That's what's weird.
I don't think it was a complete failure. I don't think it can be evaluated that way. I know that we had really high expectations for the season. I know that we had really high expectations on George given, you know, what we had given up in order to get
swaps.
Him.
Yeah.
But the thing is I mean, you know, as I said, like I do think that his like failure to create off the dribble was a detriment. But on the other side of things, that was something that we saw all season. And for whatever reason, the offense wasn't ever built to correct that. Or
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Like, we have seen some solid actions of him off ball, like getting the ball in movement, getting you know, getting some better looks.
And against the Nuggets, he showed up.
Yeah,
like for the most part, he showed up against the Nuggets.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, I guess I had expected him to
do more.
Yeah, do more. And what we needed is we did need him to kind of maintain his trajectory of the, you know, career season that he had last year.
Yes.
Which is difficult, man. It's, you know,
it's hard to do the career season two seasons in a row, right?
Definitely, like, definitely. So that's what, yeah, that, I mean, it's super difficult, but, you know, it is what it is. And obviously, you know, still a good core piece. And I'm hoping that next year this is going to be, you know, this is going to look better, that this postseason grade is going to be something better.
100%. Let us know what you think at Locked On Clips once this ep comes out. Coming up next, we got second part of our Ralph Lawler interview talking about, you know, first time he met Steve Ballmer, the idea of relocation, which is interesting. But first, hey, some people have erectile dysfunction and it's difficult to talk about. But with Roman, it's easy to talk about. With a real healthcare professional, you can get prescribed real medication. It's simple, safe, and totally discreet. TD, as they like to call it. TD for the ED. Just thought of that. You're welcome, Roman. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with free two-day shipping, Amazon Prime style. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. Getting started is very easy. Just go to roman.com/lockedonNBA, all capital letters, one word, and complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to tackle, but now there's Roman, so you can tackle erectile dysfunction as many times as you'd like. Complete an online visit today to connect with a healthcare professional and take care of it. Go to getroman.com/lockedonNBA today. If approved, you'll get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. That's getroman.com/lockedonNBA. One more time, getroman.com/lockedonNBA.
Okay, so we are back with our second part of the Ralph Lawler interview. If you haven't heard part one, go ahead and check back. That episode was on Friday. We'll probably post it again on the Twitter and everything too. So
absolutely.
Cut to that right now.
I was just wondering if there's like a certain era that sticks out in your mind, either as sort of a turning point for the fan base or a personal kind of favorite of yours throughout this.
I think getting Danny Manning and having him and Charles Smith and Ron Harper all together, that group, if it weren't for the ownership, if they could have kept them together, that could have been an era. The problem, you use the term era, nothing ever lasted long enough to become an era. Mm. I mean, it'd be 2 years, 3 years, and then bam, it was gone. But that could have been a very, very good team. And, we had brought Larry Brown in as a coach, and Larry would have stayed were it not for the craziness of the owner that made it almost impossible. Because, you know, Larry had one foot out the door any place he ever went.
Yeah.
and with Sterling there, I mean, it just, it was impossible to stay. But that could have been a team that could have competed for a championship or championships if Larry had stayed another 2 or 3 years and they kept that whole group together, I think. But I love those individuals. I mean, I'm still in regular touch with Ron Harper from that group, occasionally with Danny Manning. I used to see Charles Smith once or twice a year when I was broadcasting games. We'd run into each other. They were just specially talented people. They were mature young men, and a pleasure to be around. And Larry Brown in a year and a half was a real highlight. I mean, it was just a great experience being around this rather eccentric but brilliant basketball coach, and just a swell guy. But so that comes to mind. And then the period with Quentin Richardson and Darius Miles and Corey Maggette and Keon Dooling, that group of young 19-year-old kids that we had with Alvin Gentry coaching them. We had a year where ESPN followed us around basically 24/7 and did a reality show every Sunday night, a half an hour, an hour show, I've forgotten, that followed the team. And everywhere you went, they were around. So that was kind of exciting for a team that not that many years earlier, nobody knew even existed, but was now getting some national pub. And I think Darius was one of the top two or three selling jerseys in the entire league at the time. So that was a great hope and promise, but they made a trade a year later and brought Andre Miller in and sent Darius out to Cleveland. And that, for reasons nobody truly knows, absolutely fell flat in its face and flopped. And that era was that short-lived, unfortunately. And everybody wanted the heck out of there then. And they all got out. And that was that. And the next era would have been, you know, the Elton Brand group in 05-06. That was another team that may have been every bit as good as this year's, as talented as this year's Clipper Club. People forget how good they were. Again, they were just a bounce of the ball away from having a chance to advance and did not. But that was a really, really good basketball team, well coached by Mike Dunleavy. And then the next would be the drafting of Blake Griffin, which started to change who this ball club was and the attention that it got, because he was so darn colorful in his first year, which is really his second year. And then bringing Doc in and then bringing Bomber in, it just all just kind of, in the Chris Paul trade, all those things kind of just built one on the other until as disappointed as people are right now, you look at the last 7 years and the Clippers record is the third or fourth best record in the league. That would have been unimaginable in the 80s or 90s or early 2000s. And there are a lot of teams, 20-some teams that would trade for that in a heartbeat. But when expectations are high and they aren't met, you know, it's crushing. And that's what happened here.
Yeah. Oh, you mentioned, you know, Blake and, you know, kind of this like string of exciting young players the Clippers have had. Is Blake the most impressive rookie you got to see develop who ended up playing for the Clippers?
I don't know if he was better than Danny Manning was. Danny's mm-hmm. season was cut short by an injury. Terry Cummings' rookie season, he was a rookie of the year, was spectacular. I mean, he is absolutely dominated. But in terms of color and highlight reels, there's no question that Blake was the best. I mean, you see Blake play today, and it's just not the same guy mm-hmm. With all the injuries he's had. But I mean, you see some of those rookie year highlight films. Oh my God, I forgot about that. I mean, he was flying out of the gym, and he was special. There's no question about it. The fans loved him.
How you talked a little bit about Bomber coming in. What was the feeling essentially when he came in? Because I guess a little bit for a fan, for me, I'm not as close to the organization, but I sort of wonder if he hadn't stepped in, like, is this Clippers team still in Los Angeles?
Well, I think it'd still be in Los Angeles because LA is a hard market to leave. I mean, there's just so much money here. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's tough to leave Los Angeles unless you're going to go to New York. Yeah. You've already got two teams. I mean, where do you go that's better marketing wise and dollar potential than Los Angeles? So no, I think the team would be here forever. I don't think it's ever been any serious thought about moving. Everybody thought as soon as Bomber bought, he'd move to Seattle. Well, he didn't pay $2 billion for this team to be in Seattle, believe me. The whole thing in 13 with Sterling was so tough. I think especially tough for people like me who had been with the organization for a long time, had endured his presence, and I value the fact that he was loyal to my wife and me all those years. I'm indebted to the Sterling family for that, because he could have woke up some morning and said, "I want somebody else. Mm-hmm. I want a redhead or whatever the heck, you know." And He didn't. He stood behind us all those years. And we would change TV stations, and a new TV station would say, we want to use our own guy, in the 80s or the 90s. And the club always, stood behind me and kept us, okay. And I've told Brian a couple of times, you're going to have moments of feeling insecure. I said, it's a part of the deal. You're just going to have to just keep fighting and applying for that job every year. Just by what you do and the way you act and your professionalism, all of which comes very naturally to him, is just don't ever take the job for granted, because they go from Fox Sports to ESPN or some new cable channel or streaming service. Oh yeah, we want to use so-and-so, and you're going to have to deal with that, because that's going to happen. It's just a part of the business. It's the dark side of the business for those of us who are on the talent side of it. But the feeling when Sterling was banished from the league, and we were in this living in this state of absolute limbo, having no clue what was going to happen next, and it's almost like the devil you know is better than the one you don't. You think, what's around the corner? Is this going to be somebody that's going to be absolutely crazy and want to clear house or what? I mean, I was just walking around in a daze and a haze, and the league and the ball club were sensitive to that. They brought in some sensitivity trainers to talk to us in group, and they would go one on one if you wanted. I had too much pride to do that, but there were a lot of people in the organization that were like just shell shocked, mm-hmm. And then we hear rumors about this group or that group, and it was going to be a billion two or a billion five. And then $1.6 billion. Oh my God, $1.6 billion for the Clippers. And then Ballmer said, "The hell with all that. Here's $2 billion." Deal closed. And we didn't know that much about Steve Ballmer, but he came in before he was even officially approved as the team owner. But it was cut and dried that he was going to be approved. The league was thrilled to death, for crying out loud, to have him. And had a full staff meeting at a big room there at Staples Center, and addressed 150 employees or whatever it was. I was sitting next to Tyronn Lue at the time, who was interviewing for the Cleveland assistant job. And I think Brian Seaman was there, and whoever else, and we're seated and going, and this big, burly, energetic, bald guy comes into the room and starts pumping his fists and exclaiming all these great things are going to happen, and going, gee whiz, and he said, okay, now let's get down to business. He says, my name is Steve, which was that may not sound all that significant, except that you would not dare call Donald Sterling Don or Donald.
Oof.
I mean, you get fired for it. I mean, you would not do it. He would go back to his office and he would call Andy Roser, the team president, get rid of that guy.
Dang.
And Ballmer, I mean, he says, I'm Steve. And he gave his, I have two email addresses. One is for the public. And he said, here's the one for you. And he said, anytime you want to reach me personally, nobody else is going to read this but me. And he gives his personal email. You get any problem, any question, any concern. And I thought, oh, my God. Yeah. I mean, when you'd go see Sterling, it'd be like going to see the king. And you almost had to genuflect when you walked in the door. The holy smokers. And that was just a big turning point. And I don't want to bore you with this, but one day my wife and I, we'd park our cars down underneath the Staples Center, and go down a tunnel to get there. And then you have to walk through a, you know, a metal detector to, for security when you walk into the building routinely. And there's a lady who's been there for a long time who just becomes kind of like a friend because she's so familiar. You see her every single home game. And so we're lined up to go through this thing, and bombers right in front of us. And so this security gal, "Hey, Steve, how you doing?" And Joe and I turned to Joe, my wife, turned to each other and go, "Oh, my God," because we're thinking back to the days of Sterling, who probably would not have walked through the metal detector to begin with. I mean, that's just who he is. And so that was a breath of fresh air for everyone who had been there. And it wasn't always easy because change seldom is easy. And some people got eased out of their jobs because Steve, for as much fun as he can be and big bombastic, he's a very serious businessman. And he has a vision of how he wants this business run. And some people didn't fit the profile of what he wanted. So some good people who had been with the club for a period of time got let go and got replaced. And it was difficult for some people. I was very fortunate, never had any of those kind of problems. They were just so darn supportive right down to the very end. And I am indebted to them, and I love them to death. And that's why it hurts when you see what happened two nights ago.
All right.
All right.
Love it. I love all of it.
Love all of
it. It's just fantastic to hear. The final part will be up on tomorrow's episode with a fantastic words of encouragement from Ralph, which is great. Coming up, we're going to be talking some Kevin Gelly, as well as just a nice PSA. But first, Will, energy bars. I love them, but I want a tastier version that's also healthy. What can I do?
Makes sense. You know, like a lot of energy bars are a real mixed bag.
Very mixed bag.
A lot of them are pretty disappointing, but not Built Bar.
Oh.
The new and improved Built Bar is even more delicious than before. It comes in 18 amazing flavors, so you're guaranteed to find something you like.
Hell yeah.
You like. You're not stuck with some crappy old bar. These bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew. They're healthy. Great for the health-conscious person. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. They're great for the keto diet.
Mm.
19 plus grams of protein per bar. And right now we have a very special offer for our listeners. If you go to builtbar.com, that's builtbar.com, and use promo code locked on, all caps, one word, locked on, like this show, you'll get $10 off your next order. Go to builtbar.com and use promo code locked on for $10 off your next order. That's promo code locked on for $10 off at builtbar.com.
And you might get a free cooler. Okay. We're in shavings. It's a good time. Shout out Ralph Waller one more time for sitting down for that interview. There's been a bunch of, like, Clippers Twitter's kind of going crazy with, like, who we should pick up to play center because there's a very strong belief that Trez will not be back. Like, it seems like a lot of fans seem like that's almost a foregone conclusion, right? I'm not saying if it is or in it, but it has that vibe amongst the fan base.
It does have that vibe. I think in a couple of postseasons, I could understand maybe not wanting to make the offer that a team who has maybe either a larger window or is not quite at their window yet for postseason performance.
Yeah.
I can understand wanting to throw a lot of money at Trez.
He's a put butts in the seats player. Like, he's fantastic to watch play basketball when it's going well in the regular season.
Yeah, yeah. Excellent player to watch. I think in the right situation can be a really, really solid locker room guy.
It has to be his situation, though, is what it seems like so far.
Yes, yeah. So there's definitely some things that kind of were up and down this year. I don't know that it's a foregone conclusion that they won't make him an offer. I think they will make him some sort of offer that they
feel fair.
Yeah, that they feel is
maybe a Tobias-style situation where it's like, hey, we think you can get this.
Yeah.
But a little more uncertainty from Perez's part. Well, yeah, but like in terms of the like, we're offering you what you think is fair, but we're not going to be disrespected if you get a bigger, if you know you can get a bigger offer somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Definitely not 4 for $80 million. I do not want that to happen.
Yeah. So I don't know exactly what that would look like. But, you know, I would be pretty surprised if they didn't offer him anything.
It's a cordial institution now that Ballmer's involved, right?
Like, it's a cordial institution. It's also just like, I think that sets a pretty freaking weird tone to
just not offer him,
to not like, offer anything.
100%.
And then obviously, you know, we've talked about it ad nauseum. We've talked about it enough probably on here, but, you know, Trez lost himself some money this offseason.
He did, and Doc helped him lose that money.
Yes,
that's the other part. Is that it's not just Trez.
No,
too,
no, which, not in any way. But yeah. I think that, yeah. I mean, once again, I still don't think the situation is necessarily fully untenable.
Not at all.
But it would be a grave surprise to me if Trez did come back for the 2021 season.
Yes. Yeah, so that leads me to believe, other than Zoo,
mm-hmm.
we would have no centers on the roster.
Or would we?
Well, a man named Fee. Fionnu Capengelly kind of lit it up. He didn't exactly light it up in the G League, but he averaged a 19-9 with 2 blocks in the G League, shot 32% on 6 three-pointers a game, which would definitely not get it done in the NBA, and he would not be getting that many attempts, so his efficiency has to get a lot better. But, like, is there a possibility? I'm not saying he becomes our number two center. I'm not meaning it like that. But do we actually see Fee get some more burn next year?
So, we might have to end up doing a whole episode about the center situation moving forward. But
I mean, we signed Joakim basically to be at practice and help Zoo out.
Yes.
Which I'm fine with.
Yeah. And we still have Patterson. He will be a free agent. Yeah, I don't know what that'll look like. But
I hope we bring him back. He seems like a good locker room.
I'm of the opinion that I don't want to sign another center.
You think we just run with Zoo and then do five out?
I think we run with Zoo. I would like to see more of the everlasting promise, but no results of Jamichael at the five.
Got to re-sign him too, man.
I think Morris coming off the bench as the five is sort of the first sub in for Zoo could be really interesting. And then I think in a longer
Morris off the bench, so then who's start, is it the 3-guard lineup or who's starting?
There's two guards,
so
a normal backcourt. Yeah,
okay, sorry.
And then Kawhi or Paul George and Kawhi, and then Zoo, and
yeah,
then
I like
have,
that
have Morris be the kind of the first sub in. I'm getting off track here, but I do think, yeah, in a longer season, especially in the absence of bringing in another center,
yeah.
There's a possibility for Fee to get some minutes. And honestly, I think it would behoove this team, as we don't know what things – we have no idea what the conversation is next free agency, right?
Yeah, and Fee also, like, anytime Fee has been in actual NBA games, it's kind of been out of hand, and he's been just given the complete green light to shoot. It's a literal running joke among people in the locker room in a nice way.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, we have to have a concentrated effort on developing Fee.
Yes.
As opposed to the just, like, yeah, go get your shots up.
Yeah.
Type vibe.
Yeah, and I think that, I mean, you know, depending on his performance – obviously, he's really pretty undersized to be playing the five at the NBA level.
Got to get better defense, too.
But, you know, even getting him, like, a couple of minutes and sort of bench-clearing minutes at the end of games, I think would just start to help him get more comfortable.
Yeah, I agree 100% on that. It's going to be interesting to see. I hope he gets – I just hope he gets more comfortable because he doesn't look comfortable.
Yeah, he doesn't look comfortable on the floor.
Shout-out to Fee. Hope he gets some more run next year. Then last thing in shavings, just for those of you who've maybe been on Twitter quite a bit in the last couple days, it's okay to hop off.
It's true.
I've done it. Twitter's a horrible place, especially after the NBA voting, or the MVP voting, excuse me, everything like that. Just take a break from Twitter. It's good. Maybe all social media, given everything that's going on right now.
Yeah.
Clear your heads. You know, this is the off season. We can reset as fans, and it's going to be better next year.
That's true.
That's all we got to look out for.
It's true. Can only go up.
Well, where can these fantastic people find us?
You can check us out on iTunes, or I think now it's just called Podcasts.
Yeah.
Podcast.
They really
app.
Streamlined that.
Yeah. Podcasts on Mac OS X. Podcasts on, I don't know.
Jaguar. Right? Wasn't that an operating system for Mac at one point?
Yeah.
Snow Leopard.
On whatever else. We're also on Spotify. You can check us out there. We're on Stitcher. We're on Deezer. We're on Google Podcasts. You can tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Clippers. Go ahead and subscribe if you haven't already. Hey, tell your friends. Maybe they want to get on the ground floor of what's happening for Clips next season.
Yeah, maybe they saw what happened this year and they were like, you know what? I'm riding with this team.
Hey, if you're not ready to get hurt, I don't know what you're living for.
I don't know what you're doing over here. Yeah, 100%. Tuesday's episode, we're going to be doing Twitter Tuesday, so go ahead, send your questions in. We'll do our best to answer them. We're going to have Marcus Morris's postseason grade, which might be pretty damn good grade. And then the final part of the Ralph Lawler sit-down with his wonderful message to Clippers fans. And whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland. I have been positive, Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. Hey, we appreciate you.